Ramsey TV.
Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. This is going to be more of a personal show. I want to be speaking to you. Those who watch this show, who support me and write me and love me, I couldn't do what I do without you. You are the most, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the most important part of this whole thing, this whole outreach, this ministry. You're my friends. We have an unbreakable bond. It's unbreakable on my end. There are unfortunately some people I have known to whom I brought the evangel who will no longer speak to me. For whatever reason they have, again, it's not on my end because I will never leave you or forsake you. I might occasionally get snarky with you if you make a snarky comment on the video. I like to play around with that. Boom, boom. Let's spar a little bit. That's fine. It's not personal. We're sharpening each other. I trust that we're mature. And as I've said many times, you are the smartest audience on YouTube. I am enriched, and everyone's enriched by your comments. I am definitely enriched by your letters to me, your emails. I need to hear from you. As I've told you many times, I'm not on autopilot. I need you to tell me if you liked a show. I need you to tell me you read my book and you liked it. I'm weak. I need the encouragement. I can't do this without it. So I want to explore that theme a little bit and tell you some details. And someone sent me a package 6 months ago or so, and I need to find out who it is. And I've been wanting to do this show after show after show. I've been wanting to do this, to ask who sent me these books, because I lost the name, and I cleverly tore the address and the name off the box that it came in, which I lost because I'm weak. I'm disorganized. I'm barely hanging on some days, but I love you, and I want to just talk a little more about that, get some things off my chest. But before that, I do want to make one follow-up comment from last week's political shows. I talked about the orange-tinted guy who I believe will be back on the world stage. And our brother, Drew Costin, who is a dear brother of mine. In fact, he is proofreading the Romans series, Volume 1. Zender on Romans, Volume 1. 36 chapters. Seth Follenkamp, our brother, has typeset this book. Intense labor. I mean, without typesetting, it's just a pile of paper. Seth is putting it into a form that is lovely, that will make a beautiful book to hold, to have and to hold and to read. It is to be hoped. And Drew of Toronto, Canada, is meticulous. The guy doesn't miss anything. I think I'm handing him a perfect manuscript, and he comes back with 23 corrections. I hate it and love it at the same time. Definitely need it. He made a comment saying that DJT, president number 45, the most lawless person, he can't stand the guy. The most lawless person there's ever been. I said, lawless? So if he's so lawless, he must have committed several federal crimes. Can you just name one of them? And when you find it, send it to the senators, send it to the Democrats in the Senate. They would love to hear about it because they haven't been able to find one. After scrutinizing the man more intensely than any politician has ever been scrutinized, they haven't been able to find a single law the guy's broken. I'm telling you, this is an anomaly. DJT is a Boy Scout. He is the most clean politician that has ever been in the political field. Ever. Because no one's life has been torn apart more than this man's. And so much can they find nothing on him that they have to make up crimes. And they've been doing that since 2016. And nothing is stuck because none of it's true. If they had it, they would bring it. They don't have it. So far from being the most lawless person in the world, he's the most lawful person in the world. Not of a sterling moral character, but we're talking about the law now. So I think it makes this man even more of a candidate. Just had to get that comment in there. And Drew and I go back and forth politically. He's on the left. I hate big government. Drew likes big government. I think people should be able to keep the money that they earn. This is a public comment Drew made. He says, you know, the government should decide if people make too much money, then the government should take it from them after the government decides that they're making too much money. I said the government has no business telling people how much they should make and penalizing people who are successful in order to give to people who are not successful. It fouls everything up on both ends. But anyway, I love Drew. And this is the kind of thing. Drew and I are a perfect example of two guys who can spar, who have totally opposite beliefs in the political spectrum. We agree on almost everything spiritually. But we can spar on things we don't disagree with. And then, you know, we're friends. We're brothers. We have a beer afterwards. And the guy's doing great work for me. And I want to acknowledge him. He also proofread The Live Everyman's Battle. A very clean manuscript. More clean than DJT, even. That's thanks to Drew Costin. So, thank you, Drew. And I'm... Folks, if we spar in the scriptures, or even when I completely disagree with somebody, as I've done many times with Clyde Pilkington and others, these people are my brothers. It's all on a professional level, if you want to say it that way. It doesn't affect our brotherhood in Christ or our friendship at all. In my mind, it doesn't. Some people can't handle it. They take everything personally. I mean, I'm not saying I don't take some things personally. Of course, it's hard not to. But you have to recognize that you're doing that. You have to recognize, okay, I'm not seeing this right. Or when I do say something off color, sometimes I'll respond too quickly on the YouTube comments. Somebody will rub me the wrong way and I'll kind of shoot back. And I'll always regret it. Not always, but most of the time I regret it. And then I apologize. I love to apologize. I love it. Sometimes I think I offend people just so that I can apologize. I happen to believe that it's better to offend and apologize than never to offend at all. Because when you apologize to someone, it shows them more of your heart. So, who sent me these books? These are great books. Gene Edwards, who is a home church guy back in the day. I didn't realize, but he wrote these books of fiction. This one's called The Timothy Diary. He assumes the voice of Timothy and he writes as Timothy would write, going through these adventures with the Apostle Paul. And The Gaius Diary. Gaius, one of Paul's co-workers. The Titus Diary. And then there's this really clever book called The Story of My Life as Told by Jesus Christ. I wish I had thought of this. This is fantastic. Basically, it takes the four Gospels, but instead of telling it in the third person, he tells it through the voice of Christ in the first person. For instance, here's a section based on Matthew 17. The subtitle is, I predicted my death. Leaving that region, we traveled through Galilee. Everyone was marveling over all the wonderful things I was doing. I tried to avoid all publicity in order to spend more time with my disciples and teach them. One day I told them, listen to me and remember what I say. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. And he goes on. These are very nice books. And I think this gentleman's from Texas. And he wrote me a letter too. Where is that letter? I don't know because I suck at this. And it's frustrating to me. And so please, this has bothered me every day since I lost that letter, which I read the letter. It was beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And this is what I do. When something really touches me, I put it aside so I can spend more time answering it. And that's the fatal flaw right there. As soon as I put it aside, it falls through the cracks and I can't find it. Some emails, I'll just put it out. They're easy. Somebody asks a quick question, but when somebody writes really deep and profound email, or they're telling me about their life, and they're telling me about a really deep personal problem that they have, I'm moved. And I say to myself, well, I have to answer this email. But I can't answer it now because I got to do this. I got to plan the shows. I have to go buy a chicken at Winn-Dixie. And so I put it aside. And that's the fatal flaw I have. Once I put it aside, time goes by. And ironically, the emails I want to answer the most sometimes fall through the cracks. And if this has happened to you, I apologize because this really hurts me. It hurts me what I do to myself and what I do to you, because your letters, I thrive on them. I need them. And as I'm saying all this to you, I don't want anybody to stop writing me. Don't. I need you. But what this is a corporate apology for not being able to answer everyone. This was a part of the work, this personal interaction with the saints, that I did not anticipate. When I started this work back in 1993, my plan was to write a newsletter. I never planned on speaking, never. That wasn't in the purview at all. I was just going to write books. I pictured myself ensconced in a room. This may be hard for some of you to believe, but I'm an introvert. I realized this myself a few years ago. Somebody brought it to my attention. And it's true. I'm an introvert. I like my privacy. I like to be left alone most of the time. Not all the time. I need companionship. I need good friends. And I need the fellowship. But for some reason, I can't take it in large amounts. And so it's difficult for a guy like me to have such a beautiful array of fellow believers around the world like you. And in my heart of hearts, I want to give everyone everything. But of course, it's impossible and I can't. And it's been one of the greatest frustrations of my life. Up until 5 years ago, I prided myself on answering every single email. I did that for 25 years, and finally, I cracked. I mean, I broke. You can call it a nervous breakdown. I had a nervous breakdown. I just felt the pressure. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. But I took too much on myself, or maybe I expected too much of myself or something, and I realized that I just didn't have the emotional capital. It's not a matter of time. People try to make excuses for me, and they say, "I know, Martin, you're busy, you don't have the time." It's had nothing to do with not having the time. I confess to you right now, it has to do with not having the emotional capital. I can't stretch myself as much as I would like. And especially in this era of instant communication with texts and emails, boom, boom, boom. The stuff comes hot and heavy and I'm absolutely overwhelmed. And sometimes I have to withdraw. And I don't know how many people have said to me that they're afraid they offended me in some way because they write me a beautiful email and a week goes by and 2 weeks go by and they don't hear from me. And they're sure that they said something that offended me. I don't know how many times I've had to correct people and say, you did nothing to offend me. This is my lack. This is my issue. This is my problem. And you folks, I'm afraid you don't realize how really thin I am. Some days it's all I can do to produce the content. But it's a conundrum, because I can't isolate myself and just make sure I get all the books that I need to get out. I got 14 more books on top of the 14 I've already written to get out. And some of them are like 95% done because I've had people helping me with the typesetting, such as Seth Vollenkamp, and the proofreading, such as Drew Costin. I can't do that. That wouldn't be healthy for me. I mean, my artist, the artist in me wants to do that sometimes. I just want to withdraw. I want to go to some obscure cottage in a garden somewhere in some obscure city and just write. So I'm a bit of a hermit. But I find myself in this position of being a broadcaster. I never imagined this happening. Never imagined the internet when I started in 93, or cell phones when I started in 93. And another one of my flaws is that I have good intentions. And so I'm trying to be careful of this, but my first instinct is to say, yes. Like, Martin, can I have your phone number and we'll have a nice chat? Yes, of course. And then after I do it, I say, I don't want to talk on the phone. And I don't. I really don't like to talk on the phone. It's hard for me to talk on the phone. In many ways, I hate the phone. But in another way, I can survive without it. And I want you to know, I can't survive without you. So please don't take this as me telling you to leave me. No, I'm begging you. Please don't. Don't leave me. I'm very sensitive. Very sensitive. I have abandonment issues. I really do. Because I've been abandoned before. My abandonment issues aren't due to nothing. They have a basis in experience. So I have issues with that. This is why I struggle every day to the point of stomach aches that I cannot answer everyone. But again, I don't want you to say, well, we're not going to burden Martin anymore, so we're just not going to talk to him. No, 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 please. Please. I need you. Don't stop talking to me. Don't stop commenting. If I can, and I do want to, and if I can, and if God gives me the strength on any given day, I will respond. I mean, this proves it. This has been bothering me for 6 months. Who sent me these books and gave me the lovely note that I read and said, wow, this is great. I'm going to put this aside. There you go. So that I can answer it in a way that is thoughtful. Whenever I answer you, an email or the comment, I don't cut and paste anything. My answers are thoughtful. And this is the problem, that I won't settle for less. And so instead of settling for less, in some cases, I don't do anything. It's the opposite. You see what I mean? It's instead of saying, well, I'll just cut and paste a thank you, cut and paste a thank you. I can't do that. It's cheap. Because what you and I have is personal. You're not just a face or a name to me. You're a person. You're a member of the body of Christ. And whenever I communicate with you, when I'm communicating with you, you're the only person that exists. I want to give you everything that I have at the time. And because I know I'm like that, part of me would rather not give you anything than to give you something cheap. But then when I don't give you anything, you think I don't care. I'm not saying you. Maybe Martin doesn't care. Maybe I've offended Martin. He's not responding. He's pissed at me. No, no, no. None of it's true. None of it's true. I have a problem. It's a good problem, I guess, you know, because I have lots of friends. You're my friends all over the world. People send me care packages. It's amazing. I love it. I feel so loved by you. Whether you send me a box with popcorn in it or a bottle of whiskey, or Catherine Holmes just sent me another care package from Australia. I got a kangaroo over here. Let me show you this real quick. Look at this. Look at this cute thing. The kangaroo poking out of a cardboard tube. Look at that. Cute, right? Look at this thing.
Hey, I'm from Australia.
Yeah, and you got nice floppy ears, too. What are you, little Joey?
How'd you know my name?
I don't know. Just took a guess. Anyway, thank you, Catherine, for that. And please tell me who sent these books, because I want to thank you personally. It's been bothering me every freaking day. Another one of my faults is I procrastinate. Oh, I procrastinate. I am going to go to some scripture. Because Paul, our apostle, had a similar situation. He talks about himself. He describes himself in verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 like this. He says, servants of Christ are they? He's talking about other servants of Christ. Being insane, I'm speaking. I feel insane right now talking to you, man. Being insane, I'm speaking. Above them am I, in weariness more exceedingly, in jails more exceedingly, in blows inordinately, in deaths often. By Jews, five times, I got 40 save one. That is the 39 strokes of the whip. Verse 25, thrice I am flogged with rods, once I am stoned, thrice I am shipwrecked. A night and a day have I spent in a swamp, in journeys often, in dangers of rivers, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of my race, in dangers of the nations, in the city, in dangers of the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren. He goes on, toil, labor, vigils, famine, thirst, fasts, cold, nakedness. And then in verse 28, it's almost like he's building. And to me, this was the most pressing thing he felt of all these things. He says this, apart from what is outside, that which is coming upon me daily, the solicitude for all the ecclesias. He called this something that came upon him daily. I can relate to this. The solicitude, that is the care for all the ecclesias. And I wouldn't even be making this show if I didn't care, if this didn't, in a way, burden me every day. But it's a happy burden. It's a necessary burden. It's a wanted burden. It's a needed burden. I do not want to shrug my solicitude for all of you. When I had a family, I had three young kids in the house and a wife. You know, it's difficult having a family. There are many things required of you and many things you must do because you've assumed this mantle. You've assumed this responsible role and you must deliver. And it's not always the easiest thing. And sometimes you wish you were relieved of it. But not in a million years would you really want to be relieved of it. In one sense, it's a burden. In another sense, it's a joy. And so my relationship with you, with all of you, is a joy. A sweet believer just sent me two jars of cupcakes. Yeah, some company puts cupcakes in a jar. And this was sent to me. And I mean, it makes me want to cry. The love that I feel from you. Many of you support this work financially. And it is my deepest sorrow that after 25 years, I cannot write personal thanks. Again, I'm just too thin. So, and it's a flaw. God wove it in me. I'm flawed by design. But nevertheless, it bothers me. And this is why lately I've been thanking you corporately. I've come on this show, or I write on the newsletter, in the newsletter on Sundays with the Rodney Paris video. I thank you corporately, and I'm going to do it again now for everyone who has supported this work financially or any other way. Cupcakes in a jar. It all counts. Telling me that my work changed your life. That's worth a $100 check. Somebody telling me that my work has changed your life. That is fuel. I need it. If I didn't get that, folks, I don't know if I could continue. But this comes upon me daily, and I just wanted to share it with you. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. So whoever sent me these books, please make yourself known in the video comments or send me an email. No. Yes. Send me an email and in the subject line put ahem, exclamation point. Ahem, exclamation point. The man who sent you the wonderful box of books and the sweet letter. Sometimes that's what it takes. So, before I end the show, I will thank you all once again. I don't take it for granted that you watch this show every day. I feel burdened, and this is my most important thing that I do. Write the books, but even more important is make this show. And as God gives strength, I will make a show every single day. Every single day. You need it. I need it. Enough of you have told me that you rely on this every day. It's not like you're not relying on God. You are. But it's God who's supplying you, Martin Zender. God is supplying you with a teacher, with a friend, with a confidant, with a correspondent. And that's me. God's doing this. So it's not like you're not relying on God. Some people feel guilty. Well, I don't read the Bible much, but I just watch your show. That's okay. I read the Bible. And God's given me the ability to present the truth to you in a way that's easy to understand. It's relatable. And it's real because these truths are real to me. I believe all this stuff that I teach. And I live it. And I'm flawed by design right along with you. I'm not some wise man on the mount. No, we're all in the sinking boat. In a way, we're in a sinking boat in that we're inhabitants of Eon 3. But in another way, we're in the most exclusive, marvelous group of people ever to be called out by God, the body of Christ. And we're that while we're in the sinking boat. It's incredible. But I'm in there with you. And so as the days of this eon wind down, let's continue to help one another. Please continue to write. I read everything that you write. I just can't respond all the time to everything. I would love to talk to you all on the telephone, but I can't do it. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the emotional capital. I'm thin, very thin. Few people realize how thin I really am emotionally. Just hanging on, people. Just hanging on here every day. The most important thing I can do, even if I have to ignore everything else, is get this show to you. Continue to grow in the Word. Continue to understand the Word, to find new wrinkles or nuances that we've never seen, to give you encouragement and to keep you in the game. Because there's a lot of you ready to jump out of the game. There's many of you pushed to the brink. Hey, I feel your pain. I'm there too. But we're going to get through this because we're a unit. We're an indissoluble unit. Nothing can break us apart. Nothing. Not even my procrastination or my thin emotional state can keep us apart. And if in any way I've offended any of you or hurt any of you, please accept this as my apology. It's because I'm weak. It's not because I don't love you. It's because I'm weak. Thank you for understanding. And I'll do my best from my part to understand your foibles as well.